Hey, have you ever had anybody steal from you, or maybe they just treated you wrong and feel like they stole your innocence or they stole your childhood, whatever? I'm going to teach you how to get over that and make everything that's happened in your life a gift to everyone else. So when it's a gift, then you get the blessing of the Lord for being a giver on the next More Faith, More Life podcast.
You were made for more than the status quo. I'm Pastor Steve Gray, and this is the More Faith, More Life podcast. This podcast is for Christians with an ambitious heart who want to be more for their family, do more with their career, and see more of God's promises in their life. I've spent many years as a worship artist, minister, nonprofit leader, bold truth speaker, and most importantly, father and spouse. When I was in my early 40s, I was craving more from God and more from life. I'd done everything I was supposed to do. My life was good, but it wasn't good enough. So I spent the following years diving into the Word of God and searching for the biblical principles that would bring me closer to God and help my purpose and life flourish. That's what I want to share with you. In every episode, you'll get practical tools based on real life experiences that you can put into action to redefine your faith and ultimately your life. So, if you're ready to do more, subscribe to More Faith, More Life, and hear an unfiltered biblical truth every week. It's time to be and experience more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm Steve Gray. Here's Kathy with me, and we've been just visiting with each other, getting kind of warmed up with what we want to share with you today. As Kathy is putting together stories and history, legacy, I guess it's a real popular word. Legacy is a popular legacy. Word today. I see it around. And so she's been putting together some legacy ideas, some stories and that. So she's going to help guide me through this so that I can build your faith on many, many, many stories and experiences that I've had. And I'm used to teaching the Bible. I like talking about the Bible.
Yeah.
But I also know I've had so many people tell me, stories, not just mine, but stories are so important. And Jesus was a storyteller because sometimes he'd do a parable, sometimes he'd just tell a story, and then sometimes he would be in between, he'd quote some scripture in between there. Yeah. But most of what he said, let me tell you a story, you know.
Right.
Or it's a story now, like the kid with the two fish and loaves of bread, and they fed the 5,000.
Right.
Okay, that happened, but now it's a story.
Right.
So stories are important. So what do you want to talk about today?
Well, what I want to do is continue to use these podcasts now to build on your legacy. And the way that first I started out going, you know, you're a great preacher and how you've changed the world and the churches, literally, with your preaching of the word and how God formed you over the years with that. Then I started realizing, but you can't just bring a great sermon and change lives. And it's because you have great character. And you have great faith, and I've watched you develop it for so many years.
Yeah, I've changed, continued to change over the years.
You constantly, I mean, you're still constantly changing, and I thought, what a great challenge to bring to people. So I'm actually believing God's going to help me write a book from these stories, but then as I'm working on the book, in each chapter I go, I think of so much else. So it'll be a full book, just as your life is a full book.
Isn't it funny,
Steve?
Too, even that we sit down and you talked about this the last couple of days to me again. And even in our discussion, I'll think of another story that I thought, I forgot all about this story. And they're miraculous, they're supernatural, and they're natural.
And they're natural.
Natural stories, too.
So many wonderful stories.
So where do you want to start
today?
And
it's fun to sit with you and do that because finally I say, quit telling me any more stories. I want to focus on these.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about living by faith on the road.
Okay.
As a full-time ministry. And I'm remembering the very first time other people actually saw and acknowledged our entire family.
Our faith walk,
Our faith walk. So they acknowledged it. And I thought maybe today you could start with that story and explain that and where our picture ended up, and also then flow on into some of the ways and a big thing that was really traumatic to me back then that you helped me through.
Yeah.
An experience at a church.
At a church, yeah. I can get there.
Yeah.
Can
you get there?
Story, yeah.
Yeah, and that's living by faith.
Well, let's back up then. We were school teachers in the same school. I mean, she was in kindergarten teacher, mm-hmm. and I'm the music teacher in high school, but it was a connected building. So we got to go to work every day, and it was a wonderful life. And then I got saved and filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Still, we stayed another year.
Me too.
Yeah, and another wonderful life. Right. But then God began to direct us into preaching, and I had no idea I was ever going to do that. Yeah. Why'd I go to school 4 years? Well, you went four, I went five. Took me five to get mine, but I got that extra degree.
You had that extra degree.
Yeah. So anyway,
it took you an extra year.
So then God began to stir us, and I began to make phone calls to my family.
Yeah.
They were all musical. We were musical, obviously. We weren't preachers yet, but musical, and talk about maybe God wants to do something with us. So we ended up moving back to my hometown, and we started singing together as a family, including you, of course, and including my mother, who's a singer, too, for years. And so all of us in there, and then everybody that married somebody was in the group, right?
That's right.
And so we started that, and we sang around the area and different things. Okay, so we did that for a year. You taught one more year. I worked in the Methodist Church for a year, and then we started getting like so busy enough that we couldn't hardly go to work, especially you.
Yeah.
Like on Monday morning, we'd be out late Sunday night because we'd go minister in some church, and we'd travel in our own cars, and then get back so late, and all of a sudden we said, we can't do this anymore. So on September 1st of that year, my whole family, two sisters, two husbands, right?
Yeah.
Two brother-in-law, two sisters, brother, wife, mother, you, and me, all of us at the same time.
Yeah.
We all resigned from our jobs at the same time, the same day, the same time. Well, first that made news in the Sedalia newspaper where we lived. Yeah. They said, they wrote a whole article on our family.
Yeah.
And then later, we actually went into the full-time ministry. We started booking churches and going places. We were still driving our own cars. We didn't have transportation yet. And then we were voted, our family was voted the Missouri Family, Outstanding Family, Missouri Family of the Year.
Yeah.
Right? We got of the year because we walked by faith, we were singing, we did our jobs, and it was a great story. Yeah. And so we're the number one family of the year in the state of Missouri for a whole year. So that got us going, and we worked hard to try to just send things to churches, and churches would invite us, and then we'd sing at this church and minister, and then another church would hear about us, and we just kept as busy as we could.
And our income was dependent on those churches.
Yes, and get this. We had no money when we started.
Right.
So how are we supposed to set a budget? Well, there were 10 of us, right?
Six and households.
What?
Six households.
Yeah, six households. Uh-huh. So everybody, no matter their age or experience, we all got the same amount of money. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, like zero.
No. Everybody got $100 a week.
Yes.
That was our goal, $100 a week.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I would get $200 a week together. My mom got only $100, but we didn't know how else to divide it up. And that was our $100 a week, I think, or every 2 weeks. I can't remember. But anyway, it was challenging.
It was meager.
Yes. And we owned a home by that time, too,
mm-hmm.
In Smithton. Then we had moved to Smithton then after about that same time we went full time. Anyway. So we would go and we do what they used to call love offerings. And you always knew you were in trouble when a love offering came, when the pastor comes up and hands you an envelope and says, I wish it were more. Remember that, though?
I go,
this is not good, is it? I'm not going to even open this.
Or when they would get up to take the offering and they'd say, all right, we're going to take an offering now for this wonderful music group. But the first part of the offering, you know, the lump sum that comes in, we will take off the top to pay for all of our expenses.
Yeah.
And they take, like, what?
And they pay for their expenses and give us leftovers.
Yeah.
And we had a big group. You know, it's a big group. There's drums and sound.
Yeah.
We brought our own sound system, drums, guitars, everything, microphones.
And just fueling up a Greyhound bus was quite expensive.
Yes. For then it'd be more now, but it was even expensive then.
Of course.
Okay, so what she's was visiting with me before that she got so upset. So we went to minister someplace. I don't remember where. I probably could remember because I can still see us leaving the church, but I can't quite remember where it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had some friends showed up to wherever we were ministering, and they did the offering. Everything was fine. It was a good service, I guess. And we probably did several days. We usually did several days at a church, not sometimes one service.
We would do like two or three services
a lot
at
of
least.
Times. And then they give us the offering for two or three services, yeah. You know, but sometimes one. But anyway, we had some friends afterwards come up to us and say, oh, we love it so much. We love you guys so much. And then they whisper to us, we just want you to know we put $2,000 in the offering for you tonight. Oh, great. So then we pack up. It took an hour to set, 2 hours to set up and an hour to pack up.
Yeah.
So it was 3 hours just for that without the service. Mm-hmm. And so we packed up the bus, we're leaving, and now it's time, you know, we open the envelope up, and it was $250 for 3 days. I think it was 3 days.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And we really needed that money, and we'd gone into that church praying, you know, and thank you, God, we know you're going to meet our need here using this church.
So we got $250, and we opened it, and there are faces, and Kathy's face expressed it.
Yes, and you and I, we saw the check.
We
first.
Saw it first. So,
you know my face.
Kathy is expressing quite a bit of emotion at the front of the bus,
yes,
like,
I
this
was.
Is not right. And it wasn't right. And they stole from us, really. Because how many other times has that happened? We didn't know what the offering was, but our friends let us know.
Yeah, well, that guy would say, this whole offering is going to Jubilation.
And it didn't.
And these friends had driven from miles around. They were not congregants of that church. They were friends that were learning our ministry and loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And they drove miles and miles to get there.
So Kathy's pretty upset. We needed the money, and we knew we'd been robbed, basically.
Yeah.
And so we're on the bus. We're traveling. We hadn't gone very far yet, and I could just see myself sitting there with you, and you're upset. I don't know what you wanted me to do. I don't know if you wanted us to turn around and go punch him in the nose or what.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
That's what I kind of wanted you to do, like,
but
something
anyway,
like that.
Here's our lesson of faith that we guided ourselves from that moment on. Mm-hmm. I said, Kathy, we can't do this. We can't. I said, they took it, but we cannot live with them being thieves and robbers. We can't live with it.
Yeah.
We can't live and let it eat at us.
Right.
So I said, here's what we're going to do right now. We did it right there on that spot. I said, so in the name of Jesus, I give them that offering. It's my gift.
Yeah.
I said, I give it away. And I said, do you know what just happened? I said, not only are they free of their crime, I guess they're free.
Yeah.
We're free.
Right.
But we just blessed somebody. We blessed them. Yeah. We turned it into a blessing. And when you give, you'll be blessed.
That's right.
So I said, it was not stolen. We give it away. It's our gift to that
church.
That's
right. And, you know, I was thinking of that when Jesus talked about if someone comes to you and says, you know, walk 1 mile with me. Well, then you walk two.
Mm-hmm.
Or they force you and they say, I'm going to take your cloak. Well, then I don't know. Jesus said, give them your sandals or.
No, give them another one.
Give back when they're trying to force you and trying to rob from you, then you take the upper hand.
So we turned it into,
it
just lifted off of us, didn't it?
Like,
you know what? We just blessed that church.
I was mad no longer.
Yeah. Although you still remember it today.
I'll never forget that.
She forgave, but she didn't forget. Okay. So, but that started,
right.
That's going to happen. It happened other times to us too. We knew it happened.
Yeah.
And like you said, they would tell us when we arrived, the whole offering is for you. But then when they got it in front of the church, like maybe they advertised on the radio or a newspaper or something. Well, they'd take money out for advertising. They'd take money out for food that they provide. They said, we'll feed you. But they took money out of the offering to feed us. So we actually fed ourselves.
Yeah, we were
and
feeding
so
ourselves.
We
That's
learned.
Kind of funny.
We learned.
Yeah. But do you know, I remember then, after that released off of us, and at least, you know, I was loving that guy anyway, then we went down the road maybe to the next state or something to the next church. And that church was more than generous. They were obedient to God. They were extravagant in their giving to us. And I see God made up the difference.
Yeah, that might have been that wonderful church outside of Louisville.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name, but wherever Colonel Sanders lived, his house was there. The original chicken place was there.
Right.
And you could he was famous
that
then.
That was a great church.
And by the way, we ministered with Colonel Sanders,
That's
too.
Right.
We met him and ministered with him. And
yeah.
He used our PA because it was set up. And
right.
we ministered and told stories. And then he told stories. And,
right.
and,
was,
and but he was from the little town.
That was glorious.
We were at the Louisville Assembly of God Church
yes.
then. That big
and
church.
Do you remember Colonel Sanders, after we sang, he said, "You sing like angels."
I don't remember.
Yeah,
that
he
part.
Said, "You sing like angels."
And he wore his white suit and his bow tie and everything.
He was
just
so
as
cute.
Yeah, and we spent time and visited with him. And that
yeah.
was in the Louisville Assembly of God Church.
Yeah.
The other Assembly of God Church, I can almost say the name is outside, but that they were wonderful, wonderful people to us.
Yeah, they were. And so God uses people along the way, and he's done it for so many years now. And you've lived by that principle. And there's been other times over the years when it's been a lot bigger thievery from us.
Yeah, that
and,
was,
and I,
that
I,
seemed big.
That seemed humongous.
But it was,
you know,
it was not big now. We know now it's not big what
but,
we do with now.
You know, a lot of robbery now.
Oh, you know that Assembly of God Church where Colonel Sanders grew up?
Right.
His hometown. Yeah. I'll think of it in a second. That's the church where I went, and I told the pastor that Kathy had a puppet ministry.
Oh,
and she was really shy. I said,
this.
"She's so shy, though. But if you coax her,
he can't
she'll do her
it.
Puppet."
I
yeah.
can't believe this.
And he did. He got up during the service. Kathy has no idea what's happening.
I told you once, never say that again.
I thought it was another story. I was never to say it again.
Well,
I thought
it wasn't. No.
I thought it was stories about old girlfriends and stuff.
Oh,
I was never
supposed to. No, it was this. I told you.
No,
seriously.
The one you said never say again is when we were in Utah and I went down the mountain and took the break off and just coasted 100 miles an hour down.
Okay, let's get back to
it, and she,
moving and living
she said,
and
never
traveling
say that
by
story
faith
again.
And all the wonderful,
well,
good,
anyway, the
pure,
pastor got
godly
up, but the pastor
examples.
Got up during the service
Steve.
And began to coax her to do her puppet ministry till I finally had to say, Kathy's face said it all, I said sorry.
It says it, was, it again.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So anyway,
she doesn't have a puppet ministry, but I convinced the pastor she did, and he introduced her as the puppeter.
And my son, my son-in-law J.D. King, remembers hearing that story over and over, and now he's going to repeat that to me also.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Right,
I forgive you.
All right. What do you want to talk
I
about
give
now?
So I just want to say, even you know, we learned in those days to trust God in the big and in the little things, and we kept seeing, and you kept believing for, even in the small areas. And I remember one story, probably around that time when God had been so good to us that we were all making our $100 every other week, and we were able to stop at a Dairy Queen, at a DQ, out mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere. And we said, yay.
I can
gonna...
still see it. I can
yeah,
see
can
it in
you
my
see?
Head.
I
yeah.
can see
it was
it too.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
And we just wanted, we were craving Dairy Queen, and we were craving a Blizzard and things like that. But when we got out, we all checked our little pockets, and each one of us had just enough cash to reasonably, and according to our conscience, purchase a small cone, soft serve, you know, like the one dip. But, you know, we never felt cheated. We didn't feel like, oh, man, I really could be using a Blizzard. How about I just take everyone else's dollars and buy this Blizzard? We were so thrilled. And in fact, I remember your sister Nancy and I, every once in a while we talk about it. And we say, remember that day? And we were so happy. We were so thankful. We felt so blessed. But that's, you know, you taught us, if you know, live, be thankful, look for God in the big things and in the little blessings and be thankful. So I remember that was one of our on the road faith trip examples that I remember. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, how about you had to apply your faith when you and my sister accidentally took showers in the men's restroom
See,
on,
that's
in a campground.
Another thing I asked you never to tell.
Oh. They were in there, and they
right.
didn't know it. My other sister
we
goes up
and
says, you two, get out of there. You're showering in the men's restroom.
We were at one of those KOA
Boy, the,
campgrounds.
The door flew open,
yes.
and out they came. Kathy's kicking a suitcase in. That's a funny
well,
story,
we were
too.
So thankful because we'd traveled all night. We finally, in the middle of the night, yeah. we pulled into a KOA campground.
The blessing here, though, what great memories we have.
I know, what great memories of living by faith.
Yeah, and that was faith, too, because we had to go to
that
these
was
cheap campgrounds
no
camp
man walked
then.
In there while we were in there
yeah.
taking a shower.
Yeah, and I didn't get in trouble either because I got in the pool and it was closed.
See, I climbed over the stories, fence. All kinds of stories.
Okay, what's next? God's then? What's
been
on your mind?
So good, and you know, I think I'd like you to just share again and kind of recap those lessons that you have learned over the years. You have not taken from me. We give. I give to you. And what kind of lessons in your character have you learned with having that attitude?
When I still have that attitude.
Yes. You have.
Because when we were ministering in the small town and it made such a hit, you know, it made world news,
yes.
Newsweek and Time,
right.
Crowds came and more money came.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so careful.
Yes.
I stayed on the country pastor salary.
Yes.
I didn't raise my salary because I noticed other people were growing and stuff and their money kept coming up and they kept making more money.
Right.
And I thought, well, if we're going to be in the newspapers, which we were, and reporters were there all the time, they're not going to understand. They're going to think it's a money thing. So in a way, all that money came in. Yeah. We used it for revival and that's good. Mm-hmm. But I kept my salary, the country preacher salary, and it wasn't that much.
Yeah.
For the sake of the Lord. But it also in my brain, I'm going like, I give it to you. I give it. I'm not saying I'm being cheated.
Right.
I should be making more money. This isn't right. I'll try to. I had no grudge. I had that attitude. I'm going to give this to the kingdom of God for the sake of the reputation of the revival, which was called, and people know, maybe the Smithton Outpouring, which I was so thankful when I typed on in chat, I typed revivals of the last 100 years.
Yes.
And they all, Wells came up, Azusa Street came up, and I kept going. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Smithton Outpouring. And then there was the Kansas City Revival of 2008. We were there twice.
Twice.
And chat did that. That was a wonderful moment.
Yes.
But we kept it clean and good.
Right.
We got good press. We very seldom got criticized. Right. I mean, every revival gets criticized somewhat. But it was that attitude is... the money, I can't put the money first because money is a master.
Yes, it is.
So, so we've operated that way still at our church. We, you know, when we built the church, we wanted to not go into debt.
Yes.
Okay. But you know, I guess I can tell this story quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We were so new in Kansas City that no one would loan us money anyway.
Right.
Nobody would give me a cent. And I bought the land with every penny we had.
Right.
63 acres, had horses on it and all that kind of stuff. I got the land, but then we didn't have any money to raise the building up. So I thought, well, you go, everybody gets loans, you know, you just go to a bank. I went after bank after bank. Nobody in Kansas City would loan me a penny
because
they didn't know me.
You were from the country. They didn't,
so I went back to the country guys.
Uh-huh.
And there was a country where we used to have our checking account. Mm-hmm. Told them what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. They went and had a big board meeting. And they loaned it. I think I told the wrong number last time. I think 8, but it was actually 600,000. I might have said 8 last time somebody asked me. They loaned us the biggest loan they'd ever made in that bank, $600,000 to me, who had nothing.
Yes.
And yet, you know, I had to be by faith.
Right.
Because I had to sign a life insurance. I had to take out $1 million life insurance policy or they
on
wouldn't.
Yourself.
On myself or they wouldn't loan me the money. Our house, our home, my cars, every penny, everything. I had to sign over to the income of the church. If anything, you know, they wanted to make sure they got their $600, $600,000 back. So I did it.
Yeah.
So nobody else paid for it. I did it all on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet we were able to pay the $600,000 back in 18 months.
Thank the
Lord.
And
we were able to raise up the building, the shell and all that, and get going. All it did is buy the metal. We had to put it up ourselves. And we hired some people to help us. But anyway, paid it off in 18 months, if I remember right.
Amazing.
And but I was willing to put my fortune, my life, into building a church.
Right.
Nobody else did it. I did it. And I put everything. But, you know, we got it back. And that was a faith move.
That was a faith
move. And, you know, even though I did that, Kathy, I had no fear. You know me.
Right, you didn't.
I had no fear that we were going to fail. No fear. What if we don't pay it back? Mm-mm. No fear. What if it takes us 10 years to pay $600? Nothing. And since then, so we paid off the $600,000. And since then, that was in 2001.
Wow.
Since then, Revive Church now, the name, we have paid. We never borrowed. We never owed any. We never owed a debt to anybody since then. That was the only debt we had, was $600,000, and that's the last time we borrowed money. Never borrowed since, and built buildings and did things by faith.
Yes.
And realize that sometimes it goes easy, sometimes it doesn't go so easy, because you're at the mercy. How would everybody listening like to have your income at the mercy of volunteers? You know, they give or they don't give.
Yeah,
that's the life
that's
we
right.
live.
Yeah,
that's why we that's why we live by faith.
That's why we live by faith.
But everybody should live by faith.
That's right.
And don't put your trust in money or in your wealth. Don't put it in horses. I don't trust in chariots or horses, but I remember the name of the Lord our God. So so we traveled all those years. We traveled in a Greyhound bus for about over 7 years. We made that our second home. We had a home, but we back and forth. And we traveled around the United States. And we did. We did pretty well. We did pretty well.
God
we never
good.
Made much money.
But
you know what? I don't think we ever changed $100. Maybe
in our jubilation days.
Yeah, maybe the last few years. Actually, Kathy and I. Then we left. We started traveling in a car then because we were just the two of us.
Yeah.
And we would drive places just the two of us. So I have no idea what happened then.
And there's more many more stories from that era too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to say that what I admire as the legacy of your faith is from this one portion of our lives was that you learned how to live by faith. Trust God in every circumstance, be a giver, release if you think you've been being stolen from, and give to people as you've been given to, and keep going on with the Lord. So
And the same thing, it doesn't have to just be money.
Right,
it can be
anything.
People listening to think, that was unfair. People,
right.
That's not fair. That's a word that everybody likes. That's not fair.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
give it away. Let loose of it. Say that doesn't matter. Whatever they took, whatever they did, whatever they said, whatever happened, I let it loose. Yeah. I give it to you. I give it away. I give it to the Lord by faith. And then then it's your gift to release people. And,
that's right.
And forgiveness is so powerful because you're releasing people. You're giving them the gift. You're forgiving, but you're giving them the gift of forgiveness.
That's right.
So I give you the gift of forgiveness.
Yes.
So now I've been generous. And when you're generous with your life, God always pays back.
Amen.
Is that a good way to end today?
Yeah. Shall we end now and
we'll end.
Say see you next week?
Next week we're going to tell some more stories and move along in the life a little bit farther along in the legacy, I guess, you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Till next time. Bye-bye.